Good morning. Hey, buddy. How are you? You doing good? It's nice to see you, man. I see lots of people that I know, and lots of new people that I've never met and going to get to know. I think it's great that you're here. I think God's going to wreck you, and so you'll be no good for nothing else. That doesn't mean you won't be able to do your job. That means that you'll do your job unto God. And you'll be no good to any foreman that doesn't believe in God, because you'll just believe in God no matter what your foreman believes, no matter what your boss believes, and you'll do your job unto the Lord. And no matter how they persecute and no matter how they press, you won't waver, you won't move. You'll just walk this thing out. There's power in that. A lot of people are pressing to get out of their job. I hear it more and more in my heart everywhere I go. A lot of people they see the speaker or they see the preacher's life and they say, I want in full-time ministry. Nope. I want to tell you right now that God is shifting stuff, man. He's shifting the perspective of his bride to the place where they're going to allow their job to be their mission field. Yeah. It's really important and really powerful to hear this. Because a lot of people want to do the full-time ministry thing, and I want to tell you right now that God wants you to be in full-time ministry at your job. He wants you to walk this thing out like Jesus would walk this thing out on your job, regardless of how angry and how mean the people around you are. That you would manifest Christ, and the more they'd squeeze you, the more Christ would come out. It's the power of the gospel. It's a life change, no matter where you are, no matter what you do, that you're not moved by circumstance, you're moved by Him. You're moved by the love of God, where the love of Christ compels you. The love of God compels you. It's in the gospel. It's the reason why we're alive, to be compelled by the love of God. I'm so serious, man. I was back there talking to my friend Pam and Dean, and I said, I have nothing today. I'm back there reading and opening my Bible, and God's actually done that. He's blinded when I'm reading the Word. Like if I'm reading before I go to a service or reading in the morning before I'm going to minister that day. And because sometimes I'll just be like, God, I don't even know what you want me to share today. I'm just reading through and skimming through and, oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's awesome. And it's like I'll get done reading it and God will shut it off so I can't even remember what I just read. So that I can't rely upon the scripture that I'm reading, but I have to rely upon the scripture that is inside of me. Which is so weird, but it's so good. But it makes you feel so out of control that he can be in control. That's a weird feeling for us to like to be in control. That's another one. A lot of times we want to be in control. We want to know what to do. We want to know how to do it. Never, ever, ever. And Dan will say it over and over again. And I'm so glad that he's the one that's going to be here. And Pastor Donovan's the ones that are going to be here. They're going to be speaking in, because Dan will tell you, never, ever, ever study your Bible to preach. Never ever study to preach a sermon. Always read the Word and allow the Word to become who you are so that you become the manifestation of the Word itself. It's a good word. It is. They don't do worship in the mornings. Man. What you should do is pray that in, that you'd be here at 8:30 and do worship at 8:30 so only the hungry would come. Pam. Come on in the morning, Deb. Serious. What if you guys came here a half an hour early? Because I think what's going to happen is that, and I'm prophesying right now, but I think what's going to happen is that worship is going to start earlier than 9, because the class has to run from 9 to 12. So we have a 3-hour time period in order to get things done and some breaks in between. But what's going to happen, maybe if you guys were hungry enough, you could actually birth a worship service between 8:30 and 9 and then enter into class. So I just want to encourage you to maybe shoot for that, because to start worship at 9, it would just roll, but we'd have to keep it in like a 30-minute period or something like that. And I didn't even run this by Pastor Don, so I hope he'd be okay with what I'm sharing right now. And he's not in the room right now, so you just could pray it in, okay? It's okay to, but it's early, you know, and this is something, man. The Bible says that early will I wake. Early while awake, and early's not good for lots of people. Even my house, because where I live, I get home at 11:30 or 12 at night, and my kids are used to staying up till 12:30 at night, because I get home on a Sunday night at 12 o'clock at night. They're used to daddy coming home at 12 and staying up for an hour and going to bed at 1 and then waking up at 10:30, whatever. So our schedule's different. So early at our house would even be different. But there's something about waking up and saying, God, so good to be with you this morning. All right, let me stop rambling. What's the reason? I'm going to ask questions. What's the reason that you're a Christian? Why are you a Christian? Someone give me an answer. Someone raise your hand and give me an answer. Someone just give me an answer. Why?
To make disciples of all.
Okay. What's another one? None of your answers are going to be wrong. Unless they're wrong. Sorry. But don't fear to answer wrong because it's okay. What?
Why? I love the Lord.
Huh?
I love the Lord.
Okay. To love the Lord. Okay, so what's another reason that you're a Christian?
Because he's the only true and living God.
Okay, because he's the only true and living God. Good.
Got to the bottom of my life. It was the only thing that helped me out.
Okay. Go ahead.
To destroy the works of the devil.
Right? All right, that's good. What else?
Bring heaven and earth.
Right on. What else? Pam?
Become love.
Right. What else?
I didn't want to go to hell.
All right, I'll tell you, that's the wrong reason to become a Christian right there. I had to say it. No, but you know what, though? A lot of people are taught that, so that's why they became a Christian. And I'm not saying that could be the reason that you were brought in, but that reason has to shift immediately once you're in. Because if that reason doesn't shift once you're in, your mission statement is to just stay out of hell, and you walk on eggshells your whole life, like with hell nipping at your heels. Go ahead.
Because the Father loved me.
Because the Father loved me. Good. What else? Give me some more.
To know him.
To know him. Good.
For other people. To love other people.
Right on. To love other people. Good.
Part of the completion process of he who began the
work. Right. Okay. What about you?
To worship him.
To worship him. Good. Give me some more. Who hasn't answered? Who hasn't given an answer? Come on. If you lie, you fry. Who haven't given an answer? How about you?
Well, as a little girl, as a 20-year-old girl, I've seen a picture of Jesus. I've seen the lights window in the church. And even though my parents didn't take me to church, I recognized Jesus as being...
That's awesome. So you saw him there staring at you.
Well, he's coming in.
Right on. We have that same one down here in the church, I think. If you get on the stairs, kind of he's doing the same thing. That's awesome. Lana?
To become more than I was living.
Become more than I was living at the time. Brian?
Well, I was attracted by love, so it must be words are said, he's coming to love to attract others.
Right on. Go ahead.
To become like him.
To become like him. Good. That's good. Go ahead.
Right at the tip.
Said, yeah, why are we Christians?
We're here to be world changing units. Wow.
That's it. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Because he loved you first.
Because he loved you first. That's good.
He's my auntie.
Yeah. Who else? Go ahead.
Like even when I was faithless, he stayed faithful.
Right on. So even when we were faithless, he stayed faithful. He didn't give up on us. Go ahead, Mary.
To reveal his glory.
Reveal his glory. Right. Okay, go ahead.
Return back to the original state.
Right on. Right on, return back.
To be his daughter.
Be his daughter. That's good.
I'll say with me, it was different. It was like to be pulled out of despair. Like, I was so far in a pit, like, you know what I mean? I mean, it's changing now as I've grown, but like, and the first reason why I was like, to get out of somewhere I was.
Right on. Anything was better than where you were. Help me get out of here.
Yeah, with binoculars, I could almost see out to the right. No, I was down there.
Right, so he's saying that like he was so far down in that place that it took binoculars to even see a light at the end. But the binoculars are actually a mechanism that Satan likes to use to show you that you're so far away from that place. How am I going to get from here to there? The simplicity of the gospel is that it's this one prayer of repentance that takes you there. Good.
Okay, I'm getting
it.
Jesus came to me one night and he got saved.
Right. That's good. That's awesome. Okay. check this out. That's awesome. All these answers are good. Even the one to get out of hell. You know, I didn't want to go to hell. Because a lot of people over the last, I would say over the last 50 years have been taught to be born again is to escape hell. And that, so it's not a wrong answer. That's a legitimate answer. That's the reason why people come in. God is, the spirit of increase is on the earth, and God has been increasing the revelation of why we're Christians, and it's just increasing. You can look at it across the boards and in countries worldwide right now, that God is increasing the sense of awareness of His bride to become what Jesus paid a price for. Yes, it's to destroy the works of the devil. Yes, it's because Jesus was holding the lamb and that it comforted your heart. Yes, it's to become like Him. Yes, it's to reveal His glory. Okay? But God came down and did what He did and satisfied the wrath of God against you, disarmed the principalities so that you could be restored back to what you were created to be in the beginning. You are a Christian to become a son. You're a Christian to become a son. So this is the number one reason why you're a Christian. If God's your father, you need to be restored back to son. Because son is the identity that you were created to have. Adam was a son. And what Adam lost, Christ regained. So Christ regained sonship. So when sonship is what we, if sonship is what we come into, sonship is what keeps us there. This is so important because as a son, we're a joint heir. I'm sure Dan talked about joint heir. If he didn't talk about joint heir, I'm sure that he talked about, you know, Jesus said, all that the Father has is mine and then all I have is yours. So the same thing, but it's through sonship. It's through sonship. Sonship is the original reason why we're Christians. We're a Christian to become a son. We're a Christ-like one. We're one that revealed the anointing of God. Yes, it's to reveal His glory, but it's more about Christ in you, the hope of glory being revealed. All creation groans for the sons of God to be made manifest. So all creation is groaning, even the animals. That's crazy to even think about. Even the animals are groaning for you to manifest sonship. That's crazy. Why would a horse want me to manifest sonship? I don't know. That's weird. All creation, man. Everything is groaning for you to be a son. Everything is groaning for you to manifest sonship. Why? Because God created you to be just like Him. He created you to be a son. He created you to be a daughter. He created you to be just like Him. He created you to manifest Him in your workplace. He created you to manifest Him everywhere you go. See, it's not about us manifesting us anymore. It's about us manifesting Him. And Jesus said that He would manifest Himself to you. The Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, the whole nine yards in and upon us, man. The fullness of God in you. And the fullness of God. I can't even imagine that. You think about that. God wants to set up camp in you. His fullness wants to come and be inside of Jonathan. His whole fullness wants to be in there. We ought to explode if we don't give it away. We ought to blow up if we don't give it away. There ought to be something inside of us that is like, I can't contain this. There ought to be something inside of us that says, oh God, I gotta get this. Oh, I gotta give it away. Jesus was given the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile people back to the Father. To bring us back as sons back to the Father again. That Calvary, that the cross was to bring us back into our communion with the Father again. So something in that tree, something in the cross has to be really important. And a lot of people are seeking after the miraculous, and people join this school because they see, sometimes you see our videos or hear our teaching or whatever, and we're like, man, I want to do that. I want to pray for the sick. I want to be like that. I want to have God flow through me all the time. I want to see people healed. I want to see people touched. I want to see, man, if you become a son and understand what it means to be a son, this stuff will be a byproduct of sonship. So that's why this school is going to be very different, I believe. Very different, because I know Dan's heart, because he's my dad. I know his heart, he's my dad. He told me, first of all, no matter what I did, to seek righteousness. So the key to this school, man, and I know that it's going to be righteousness. It's going to be right standing with God. It's going to be right standing. Are you with me? Okay, I have a few times that I'm going to see you. Dan's going to be here a lot, and I'm going to come sporadically and kind of pop in when I can, and just to give whatever I can give. And I'm not saying I'm anything, because I'm not. All I am is a Christian. I'm a son, just like you. I'm no one special, man. I'm just somebody that was trashed and had a horrible life and just horrible atheism and drug addiction, destroyed my whole family, destroyed everybody horribly. And God said, that's not who I created you to be. And he came in and he stamped me. He came in and he stamped me and he stomped out the devil in my life. He transformed me through righteousness, and righteousness is what will keep you. Right standing with God is what will keep you. And it makes me cry every time, because I know who I am and I know who my dad is. And there's nobody that can take that from me. And if righteousness gets instilled in you, you will be clean before the Father. You'll be white, crystal, clean. The love of God will be revealed to you, and that it's not because of what you've done, it's because of what he's done. That Jesus paid a price for you to wash you clean of that. Paid a price to wipe out the memory of what you wish you could change, that you can't. Paid a price to wipe it out so that your mind could be crystal clean, so that you don't have to think that way anymore. So you could think like God, because God said to set your mind on things above, not on things beneath. And on things above, God sees you through your identity in Christ. He doesn't see you through what you wish you could, what you wish you didn't do. He sees you through what he paid a price to. So he sees you through blood lenses, where you can never miss the mark in that place. But if you don't see yourself through that, you're still looking out the wrong lenses. And you can't live in that place, because you're tormented by the demonic. Because Satan will have a field day with your life. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear and obey my voice, and the strangers they won't follow. So a stranger whispers and tells you who you're not, but you're not secured in who you are. So you're listening to who you're not, and all of a sudden your life becomes a who you're not. Trying to live a who you really are, but you're living in who you're not. And it's torment, and I see it. It's the number one thing. You ask Dan, he'll tell you the same thing. Everywhere we go, identity is up for sale in the body of Christ. Look, time is short, man. Time is short. We know that Jesus is coming. I love what Pastor Don shared today about the Samaritan. It was powerful. You look at the second day. Look at that, man. That thing sticks in me. I'm serious. This is like, we're in some serious times right now. That's why the spirit of increase is on the earth. If you open your heart to this thing that I'm talking to you about, if you open your heart, you will become love. You'll become love. See, there's a lot of people that are in this room that have heard us share, that have heard all the time. So the answers vary in difference in the people that are in the room. Some of the people that spend time or at the church or spend time, you know, underneath the teaching that we've been teaching, it's to become love. It's to become sons. That's where we hit. That's where we pound. Because that's where we're supposed to become love. We're supposed to be just like our dad. And if our dad is love, and Jesus was the visible image of the invisible God, Jesus was the visible image of love. And if we're to walk just like Jesus walked, we're to walk and become love. Love destroys the works of darkness. Love destroys the works of the devil, because the devil is nothing but hate, anger, depression, bitterness, unforgiveness. He's the devil. He gets stomped out by love. So good. Jesus. Lord, I thank you for these people today, God, for every day. But I thank you today, God, that you've allowed me to be here and just to share. God, I'm asking you for your word to just become a complete reality. For your word to become a hell stomper. A hell stopper, God, that your word would become flesh. That, God, this word would bury so deep in our heart, God, that we would be the outraying image of an indwelling Christ. Father, I thank you for mindsets being changed, for hearts being completely pierced, for the word just coming and just knocking out trash, God, so that we could think with a pure heart, God. So that we could walk with a clear conscience. So we could walk with an unviolated conscience, God. so that our mind would be completely free from lies. Jesus, we worship you and we thank you. We thank you. Holy Spirit, come in this place. Holy Lord, my God, fill us up. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, God. We ask you to come. We welcome you. We welcome you. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. We worship you, Almighty Lord. We open up our hearts to you. Change our motive, God. Our motivation is love. Our motivation is love. Change our perception, God. Change our heart, oh Lord. We welcome you, Lord God. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. We want to be like you, God. We want to be just like our daddy. Just like our daddy. Just like our daddy. Just like our daddy. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Holy God, Holy God. God, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. God, we're asking you to shake whatever needs shaken and break whatever needs broken, God. We're giving you full permission, God, to completely just drive your sword in deep and root out trash, God. We will not look introspectively to try to fix our own self, God. But we will. Would you make that promise with me? Lord God, we promise that we will not look inside of our own self to try to fix. To try to fix our own self, God. But we will spend time in your word. And we will ask you to cut us deep, Lord God. Cut us deep with your sword, Holy Spirit. And shine light on anything that needs to shift and change. My God, we're yours. We're sons and daughters. And we're asking you to shine your spotlight and take out the trash, God. We trust that your word will cut us deep, Papa. And we give you glory and honor and praise. Jesus. Amen. Wow. You're right. Pastor Don, did I tell you that I love you today? I love you. All right, just go to 2 Corinthians 10. Okay, I'm just going to hit a scripture before I go into 2 Corinthians 10. It's in Romans 12, 2. I'm sure you've all heard it before. Let's just go to Romans 12, 1, and then we'll go to 2 Corinthians here. Sorry. You'll be all right. It'll make you quicker through your Bible. I'm serious, man. When I first came into Christ, I heard the pastor talking about scriptures, go to here, go to here. I freaked out because I had no idea where to go. I would always be in the table of contents trying to flip through. It's the reason why my Bible got tore apart, I think, because I was flipping from front to back all the time. I didn't know where to go. So I would encourage you that when someone says go here and then go there, don't get frustrated. Just close your book, go to the next place, and then flip back. It'll get you quicker through your Bible. You want to be able to navigate through your Bible quickly. So the more you turn in it, the more you spend time in it, the less you'll have to think about where you got to go. So regardless if you're a new Christian or if you've been a Christian for a long time, it's still a good thing to do. All right. In Romans 12, 1, it says, I beseech, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is the New King James. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's crazy. Look at this. I urge you, brethren, I urge you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Man, that's awesome. A sacrifice in the days when they sacrificed animals, when they sacrificed, a lot of times they'd sacrifice and they'd actually put it up on an altar and it would burn. Right? So they would sacrifice the animal and they'd burn it and it would offer a fragrance up to God. So with our life, we're supposed to be a sweet smelling fragrance to God. But the problem is it's a living sacrifice. You're not all cut up and scattered on the altar. So you have the complete ability to crawl off when it gets hot. So a lot of times when the heat is on and when life starts to hit us, we crawl off and we become a different person. When things hit us and stuff and we're on there as a living sacrifice, it's by the mercies of God. And who knows that God's mercies are new every day. So by the mercies of God, you woke up this morning, the mercies of God this morning are different than they were the other day. Today, they're different than they were yesterday. They actually were different than they were 6 seconds ago. But we don't think that because we think, well, it's different every day. It's different every second. Like the mercies of God to this, when I started preaching today, when I started sharing today, they're different in the beginning than they are now. There's more mercy right now. We don't think that way, but it's an increasing mercy. It's an increasing mercy. It's increasing. It's amazing, which enables me to be a living sacrifice that when stuff comes, I don't have to crawl off the altar because it's hot and, ow, get me out of here, God, it hurts. Come on, stuff comes and we're supposed to stay there. And then we're supposed to offer ourselves, present ourselves as a holy, holy. Holy to God. Man, that's crazy. How can we be holy to God? What if God sees you that way? Well, how can He? I'm not. Yeah, but if God sees you that way, is there an ability for you to see yourself that way? What if you saw yourself in that way? What if you saw yourself as holy? Not to say, look at me, I'm holy, but to say, look at Him, He's awesome. He empowers me to be just like Him. Come on. To be holy and acceptable before God. which is your reasonable or your rational service, your rational service. So that's the service that you have. It's the only thing that's rational. So in the Bible, that's the only rational thing that you can do is offer yourself completely to God. Give up everything. So you can't come into the kingdom. You can't come to the school, incorporate a bunch of stuff to try to go out there and just incorporate this to change your life. You have to give Him your life because it's not yours. Offering yourself as a living sacrifice means that you're not your own anymore. You don't belong to you anymore. You've been purchased with blood. If you think there's a part of you can hold back from God, He will bargain for the rest of your life. Satan will. And before you know it, you'll be an 80-20 Christian to start with, a 50-50 Christian. You'll be lukewarm, and all of a sudden you'll wonder where God is, and you'll think that God didn't show up, and God didn't do this, and God didn't do that. Why didn't God bless me? Why didn't you hear? Why weren't you here? God, where are you? And all of a sudden you've got the wrong, twisted perception of who God is, because you're supposed to be like God. He's not supposed to be like you. And a lot of times we make God in our image, and we're supposed to be made in His image. We've come back to the original value. Christ has put on the curse for us so that we don't have to have the curse in our life anymore. But when your perception is seeing this way and not this way, all of a sudden you're looking for love in all the wrong places. And you'll never receive it, because the more you get from here, you'll think this is it, this is it, this is it, and you won't be getting from here, and this will be all messed up to where you'll be a Christian, and you'll go to church on a Sunday, you'll put on a face, you'll put on a mask, and everything will be okay, but during the week, you live like hell. And that's not okay. Being a living sacrifice means that you're always on the altar. And when God sends fire, it's good, it's not bad. It's good, it's just to burn up some stuff that needed to go. Ow, it hurts. Send more, God. I'm telling you right now, the fire is good. Look, listen, I go through the same stuff that you guys go through. And I'm going to tell you a little story that happened when we were in Switzerland. My daughter's here. She can testify to it. My daughter and Zoe were playing, and they were messing around, just joking around, being kids. And Zoe fell forward. And Sissy didn't catch her because she didn't see what Zoe was doing. And she fell straight and landed on her nose. My daughter Zoe is 4. Her nose was pushed back between her eyes. You have no idea, I'm telling you, and it's nothing like what it looked like. Her nose was pushed, this part of her nose was pushed back between her eyes to where her nose was countersunk. And my daughter Destiny brought her out, and I freaked out. Because Zoe was coughing up blood. My 4-year-old kid is coughing up blood, and Daddy freaked out. Daddy, the man of God. The man of God that offers himself as a living sacrifice. Saw his daughter coughing up blood and coming out her nose and her mouth. Daddy! Daddy! And I freaked out, and I lost it. I didn't start cussing and swearing, but I freaked out. Oh, God! And I freaked out. That living sacrifice that I'm supposed to be. This thing got bigger than my awareness of God. I'm just like you. I'm growing. So after... It was weird, man, because Zoe was coughing and spitting up blood, and my daughter Destiny was like, Daddy, let's pray! Just so happens that a couple years ago, Destiny had a nosebleed that was so bad, same kind of nosebleed, different situation, that she was coughing up blood and I lost it. Same thing. Same, I don't know if you got that yet, Des. Same exact thing. And my daughter said, Daddy, pray. And we prayed and immediately the blood stopped. So my daughter was there and she jogged something in me again. In the place of twistedness and freaked out because of the situation. And immediately her nose came out. And the nose stopped bleeding immediately. And all the blood stopped immediately. But not before I freaked out. It's reality. I had to apologize to my daughter because I was freaking out. It wasn't what she's used to see. She's not used to seeing that. I had to say, I'm really sorry. Daddy's sorry. And spend time with the family, just like getting together. But it took about, I don't know how long it took. Probably a minute. It seemed like a lifetime But it took about a minute to get this thing honed in to where it needed to be. I talk to God every day because I don't ever want to get to that place to where a situation overwhelms me to the place where I'm outside looking in. I always want to be in a place where I'm inside. Christ in me, the hope of glory, is looking at the situation from heaven's perspective to where the situations don't move us, to where we're moved internally. That's a real thing. Really happened, man. Just a couple weeks ago. And my daughter's nose is perfectly fine, but it was completely messed up. And I'm telling you, it was God's mercies, by the mercies of God, that her nose came out because I wasn't in a place that I needed to be. And he brought me into that place. It was like I came down to earth. Do you know that people spend that place that was just for a minute of my life, they spend weeks and months and years in that place. And I can't imagine that you could spend, the minute was horrible. It was horrible. Like I hurt so bad inside for a minute. I was like, where are you, God? But I wasn't even thinking, where are you, God? I was beyond where I should have been. And then God went and brought it back in. My daughter's part of the body. My wife is part of the body. My wife was in the back room praying. She came by the room and saw Zoe. She goes, oh my God. And she didn't even come into the room, to the bathroom. She went back in the bedroom and she sat on the bed and she prayed. My daughter, Destiny, was praying. I said, get out! Get out! And that made her get out of the bathroom. She went in the other room and she was praying for Zoe. And I was in there and God spoke to me through what Destiny had said. Pray, Daddy. And all of a sudden, her nose came out. Not because of my prayer alone. My wife and my daughter were all in the same place in different rooms, bringing it back in. And then I repented for the way that I got out there. How's that for being transparent? But if we're not transparent, we're not growing. If I can't share that kind of stuff with you, if I just share the highlights and the different things, then that's not growing, man. I want to be transparent with you. I'm growing up into Him in all things. That's our life, man. That's what we do. And we share this stuff with each other. We be transparent with each other all the time. So I want to encourage you as a group that you're here, be transparent with each other, man. If you're going through something, share it. Bring it. Bring it. It's imperative that you share it and you bring it so that you guys can get together on the same page so that you can love one another and confess to each other and bring it in. We don't want this to be you just in this school for you. We want you to be family. We want this to be a unit. We want you to be able to share things and to be able to be a part of each other's lives. Don't think this is just all about you and you come here and then you leave. No, be with each other. Does this make sense? Does it help? It's important, okay? Because we don't want... This church is a family. You've now entered into a family. You've entered into a family church. A church that it's about family. It's about becoming one unit. So we're the body of Christ, so we want to stick together. Okay, so I gave that example so you could see the transparency that we need to have with each other. But also that, like, we're family, man. I'm your brother. Okay, I mean, we're all the same. I don't have the time to, because I'm only home for a couple days a week, so I don't have the time to spend time with everybody to say, hey, man, how's everything going? I come back. I was really glad that I could come back on Sunday and be at church on Sunday, this Sunday, because it's not often that I'm able to do that. But I'm just telling you, just be with each other, okay? Sorry, I got caught sidetracked, but not really. It's all the gospel. I know this is Pastor Don's heart, so I'm sharing his heart because his heart's my heart. All right. It says, and don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For a while, I thought that that word prove was that I'm going to prove to you what the will of God is. But actually that word prove means a different word. That word prove means approve, which is really neat. But I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, not conformed to the world, but be transformed by my mind being renewed so that I can approve what is the will of God. so that I can look at something and say, yeah, that's the will of God. Yeah, that is the will of God. And then once you line up with, yeah, that is the will of God, you'll walk out the will of God, and then people will see Christ in you, the hope of glory being manifested, which will be Christ coming out of you, the hope of glory revealed. So we want to get our minds renewed. We want to get, and this whole school is going to be about your identity being transformed, your mind being completely renewed to a place where you don't see yourself for who you used to be. You don't see yourself for anything less than what God says you are. So that your prayer in your closet isn't going to be about, God, teach me your power, show me your glory. Your prayer in your closet isn't going to be about, God, I just want to pray for the sick. I want to see the sick healed. Your prayer in your closet is, God, I thank you so much you've made me a son. Lord, I thank you that the blood is enough. God, I thank you so much you've given me everything according to life and godliness. God, I thank you so much, God, for everything you've made me. You've made me a living sacrifice, Lord God. I thank you that I'm a son. And everything that Jesus relied completely and fully upon in the treasure house of resources is mine and at my disposal to further your kingdom. Father, I thank you so much that everything in my past is wiped out. I'm a brand new creation, Lord God. Everything is, all past is passed away. Today, all things have become new. I'm a brand new creation. God, nothing remains except for righteousness in my life. That's the kind of prayer you're going to pray. That's where you're going to be. You're going to be in a place where all God removes all unrighteousness. If God says that, if you confess to the Father, and 1 John, I think it's 1:7, says that God is faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness so that nothing but righteousness remains. He is faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And if you come to God and say, Lord, I messed up, immediately when your heart wakes up and sees it, God says, washed blood.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you start to see yourself for what God sees. What God sees is a blood-bought son that nothing can stick to except righteousness as long as their heart and mind stays in a place of confession before him. Not to beg him to forgive you, but to stand in that place. I don't have to beg God to forgive me for anything. If I beg him to forgive me, I have to wonder if he really did. But if I stand in a place of forgiveness, if I walk in a place of forgiveness, if I walk in that place where I know that my daddy's just, he's true, he's real, and God says he's faithful and just, if I mess up, I slip, I don't stand in that place and walk. I repent, I turn, and I walk this way. And God immediately cleanses me, and I'm clean, I'm blood-bought, I'm washed with blood. Nothing sticks to that. And if you see yourself that way, you'll never see yourself for what you wish you could change because it's already been changed by blood. And it is finished. And if it's finished, it's really done. And if it's really done, then all you have to do is live this way, not this way. Because rearview Christianity in the kingdom is not allowed. That's powerful, man. I live my life every day that way. How can you live that way? Because God says so. Because I won't allow my experience to dictate what God said. What God says is true. If my experience doesn't line up, my experience might be a fact. I might have went through it. But what God says is true, period. Doesn't matter what I think apart from what he said. Satan would love to jog your memory with things that you wish you couldn't do. He would love to jog your mind with opinions. Man, our opinions are nothing if they don't line up to what God said. You can't say, yeah, but what about, knock it off. Don't say, yeah, but, they're devils. Yeah, buts, and yeah, but, you don't know. Yeah, I know that's what God said, but,
that's right.
Devil. I'm serious. You have to settle in your heart, first of all, that the word of God has been magnified above God's way, above God's name. Psalms 138 verse 2 says, God, you, O Lord, have magnified your word above your name. God's magnified his word up here. So what God's word says is Lord. So what we think apart from what he said doesn't matter. You cannot magnify how you feel above what he said and expect that to go over well. Right? So we have to allow his word to stay in that place. Amen? So don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So our mind is the place that needs to be fixed up so that we can start to think like God thinks, think like Jesus thinks. We need to think according to covenant. We need to think this is going to be all about establishing covenant. Covenant, relationship between you and him. Jesus didn't say eternal life was going to heaven, guys. It's not what he said. we ask people what eternal life is. When I go and I preach around the nation, and even in Switzerland, when I talk to them about eternal life, and go to heaven. One day go to heaven. One day go to heaven. That's because that's what we've been taught. But the Bible doesn't teach that. Eternal life is knowing the Father. Eternal life. In John 17:3, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God. Eternal life is knowing God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. Doesn't say no one comes to heaven. Do you understand that? Jesus said, I'm the way. Where? People have been taught he's the way to heaven. He's the way to God. He's the way to the Father so that heaven can get to earth through you and that heaven can invade earth through you. If we don't think that way, we'd limit God. And you're limited by your mind. Go to 2 Corinthians 10, please. Pastor Don, I was over in Switzerland with these the Swiss German people, and they were just very stoic in the, you know, and I told you, I said, like the first night, I said, are you guys happy in Jesus? And they're like, yes. And I said, tell your face. I was just playing, and they did not smile, man. And I tried to explain myself, and they still didn't smile. And it took a whole day in order to like get them to, just to get them in that place, man. Because they have been taught the gospel in such a way that it's works, that you have to work your way to this thing. You have to work. And as a matter of fact, it's not just in Switzerland. It's here in America. We're very works oriented. We want to do. Doing is good, but if it comes out of being. I remember, a pastor when I first got saved, I went to this class called Transformers class. It was Pastor Jack Cashman, actually, and he instilled some godly principles in my life, man. He's an amazing man of God. Actually, just taught me a lot of amazing things. And the Transformers class, he always started out with Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And these seeds got in me from this class, that right there, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. And I was a drug addict for like 22 years, man. And I went to this class on Saturday mornings because I incorporated Jesus into my life for about 5.5 months. And for those 5.5 months, I would rarely miss a Saturday morning. And I'd use drugs and destroy all the way through the week. And Saturday morning, I'd come to this class. I'd be crying, you know, and be listening to this guy talk about be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'd hear that same scripture week in and week out, week in, week out, week in, week out. I knew there was something there, but I hadn't given myself to God. I hadn't surrendered to God. I just incorporated him in, so nothing changed. But I remember that, and I'm like, man, something's wrong up here. So I at least got that. There was something really wrong up here. Really. So then, like, I went to Teen Challenge. I got radically delivered, and it was just amazing, man. Wow. I told you 2 Corinthians 4, right? Yeah, stay there. It's all just so good. Oh my goodness. Okay. 30. I'm looking at time. I got 30 minutes. Think I can do it, Pastor Don? Think I can? That didn't even sound good. I have faith in you, brother. I have faith in you, brother. Fingers crossed. I'm known for preaching the eternal gospel. It never ends. I don't think I can do this. That doesn't sound good, does it? Okay, yes, I can. All right, let's do it. Okay, go to 2 Corinthians 3. Just flip one page. How many of you are intercessors? Okay, then this is a good time for you to pray. Let's pray that I do this. God's been revealing to me and opening this thing up in a different way, because there's something, there's a difference between the ministry of righteousness that Christ paid for us and the ministry of condemnation that Moses brought. Because what's weird is that, and this is what, and Pastor, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're still under the same, the law didn't, he didn't abolish the law. He didn't crush the law or do away with the law. The law was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So he fulfilled the law. The law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. That's what it says. And Jesus paid a price to fulfill the law. That doesn't mean that the law doesn't exist anymore. That just means that the law is fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So Moses... Let's just read. To begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation, or to you, or letters of commendation from you? For you are our epistle in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. You heard Pastor Don said that your life, let people read your life, you know, read you as a book, because people ought to see what you say you believe by your life lived, not by your words said alone, but your words and your actions coming forth, coming together. And that comes from being not conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, I believe that when someone gets born again, I believe that the whole gospel comes fully equipped in their brand new heart that they've already got. I believe that God said, I'm not going to write on stone. I'm going to write on tablets of flesh. I believe that he's referring to that very thing right here, that you've got a new heart, that when you get born again, is everybody in here born again? Is there anybody in here not? That would probably be a good start. Okay. So being born again, God's given you a brand new heart. And with your brand new heart, I believe that the Word of God comes fully equipped already in there. I believe that it's already in there. But I believe that how the Word of God renews your mind is through Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit bridges this gap right here so that the Word of God can get from here to renew your mind. Holy Spirit communicates with your spirit, which illuminates the word that's in your heart. See, we can read the word by the letter through the law, or just you can read the New Testament and still be in a legalistic way trying to enforce principles and say, this is how I'm going to live, this is how we live, and bite your lip and try to do it, but you will walk this thing out in a Romans 7 lifestyle. And you will try to do this thing in your own strength. And Romans 7 says, by the law, 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 under the law, under the law. So you will try to fulfill this thing and walk this thing out in your own strength, and you can't. You're not built to do that. So you will say, even though I wanted to, I couldn't. And even though I didn't want to, I did. And you'll use some excuse as always being a sinner when God says that you're no longer a sinner, but you're a saint. So in God's eyes, he's translated you, he's transferred you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You're no longer a sinner saved by grace, but you're a saint, not with the habitual want to sin like you were when you were a sinner, but now you're a saint with the tendency to slip. But when righteousness becomes the consciousness that you walk in, the tendency to slip gets smaller and smaller and smaller. To where the love of God increases more and more and more, to where your tendency to slip becomes fewer and fewer times. And when you do, you immediately get to a place where you're clean. Do you understand? See, we're not taught this, I don't think, a lot of times. This is the only reason that I'm telling you this is because I read it in my Bible. I was a guy that had no Christian experience, no grid for what Christianity would look like, man. I came into a church suicidal and I met Dan. And he told me about righteousness, and he told me how he convinced me, man, I tried to convince him of how bad I was for an hour and a half, man. I told him, you don't understand. Dan said, no, you don't see. Let me explain to you what. And I would tell him, you don't get it. Look, And he would like say, no, listen to what he's done. But he told me the key to Christianity is seeking righteousness first. That no matter what you do in the Christian walk, you seek righteousness first and foremost so that you're right with God every second of the day. So Satan can't whisper to you who you're not because you're right with God. And when he comes, he's such a liar and he's so exposed because all you can do is worship him more when he touches you. If you're not in this place, you will put on a Christian face and be tormented behind the closed doors. You can go to school all your life, but if this thing doesn't get sought on your own time, if you don't seek righteousness in your own strength, in your own time, outside of these four walls, you will never become a living epistle. You will never be known by an inward manifestation inside of your heart that can't be shaken by an external reality. Where your internal reality is bigger than the outward cry of the world trying to... So right standing with God has to be everything. So Moses was given this ministry of condemnation because we couldn't walk it out. All right. Let me read on real quick. And we have such trust through Christ Jesus, through Christ toward God. Verse 4. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. For he who made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses, because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be much more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. The glory that was upon Moses' face was shining forth and was so bright that the Israelites couldn't handle it. They couldn't bear to look at him. So he had to put a veil across his face. And even with the veil across his face, it was still like a flashlight in the dark. But the ministry of righteousness, when your mind, and it's in here, when your mind is clear, you won't have a veil on your face anymore. Your mind won't be veiled. Your eyes won't be veiled. You will see with this one vision, man. And it's not like a flashlight. It's like sunlight. Listen, it is impossible. It is impossible. Even in you read the Voice of the Martyrs or read these magazines that come in for the persecutor. Read Jesus Freaks. Read that book. Read these people that are under persecution that is so horrible that you can't stop the shine from coming off of these people. Because they're transformed, man. Transformed, not conformed to the world, not conformed. These people are in the midst of circumstances that they're going to die if they share their faith. And they shine in the midst of darkness no matter what. Because you can't stop the shine of a Christian that understands righteousness. You can't shut it down. You can't stifle it. You can't bag it. You can't put a veil over their eyes. Why? Because their mind is clear. 2 Corinthians, man, it's a powerful chapter, this one that I'm talking about, because it talks about the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, the Lord. I love this whole thing. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not steadily look at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the New Testament. I believe that Moses had an experience with God. I believe that the children of Israel actually subverted their experience with God when they said, Moses, you go talk to him. We don't want to. We'll listen to you. So I believe the children of Israel actually lost their right to actually have a visitation with God. They said, no way, dude, we can't handle it. You do it. And sometimes Christians today go to church and they look at the speaker and they say, oh, speaker, no! You guys do it too. You can have the visitation. You can become a habitation where God can flow through. That's what this school's about. It's about righteousness. It's about establishing identity. So you don't have to look at the guy coming in to pray for the sick. You can be that guy. You can be that woman on your workplace because your eyes are not veiled anymore. Because you walk with the King of Glory flowing through you constantly. To where lies have been removed, to where the truth has set you free. And whom the Son sets free is free. He said, in that day I'll give you the Spirit of truth. That's Holy Spirit, and you've all got Him. You've all got Him. So He wants to reveal that same truth through you, in and through you, every day, all the time. You know, my relatives, they bashed me and beat me and with their words and with the way that they thought and the way that they think. And they were angry and bitter. One by one, I'm watching them all come into the kingdom. Regardless of what they thought, regardless of what they said, regardless of the evil, the way that they think, the way that they talked, doesn't matter. I see and they don't. They're blinded and I'm not. All the time. You know, yesterday I came home and Jackie had told me that her brother was coming to my house. Her brother is a tough guy. Another one. The one guy that he had cancer last year and we loved on him and helped him financially just to help him, bless him, and would never let me pray for him. I don't believe in that, man. And by the grace of God, man, and medicine and we prayed from the outside, but not laying hands on, and there's no trace of it in his body, and that's awesome. And it doesn't matter if he gave glory to God in that. That's not like, it does, but it doesn't. In other words, I'm not moved by him not giving praise to God. So he's bitter and angry, and now his life's falling apart. His life, each one of my family, their lives are falling apart. Because they're not founded and grounded in righteousness. They've incorporated Jesus in, but he's not their everything. He's just a bit. He's just a little bit of a piece of something, but not everything. And Johnny came to the house last night and he's going to help me. He came in actually to put drywall. So he started to smear some drywall in the garage last night because he's done that before. Came over and he needs some extra money. So I'm just going to bless him. And he came in and he's going through a hard time with his wife because neither of them see. So I love him and he just looks at me and for the first time, he sat there and cried and cried and cried. As I got to preach, my daughter comes outside to take the dog out the front door. She didn't come around the garage. She goes, Dad, I heard you out there yelling. You were yelling. So no, I was sharing. I was speaking right into Johnny's heart last night. And he's just like, man, he goes, I really need this. Can I come back tomorrow to talk? Listen, don't be deceived, man. Don't be deceived by how people act. You walk this thing out. You allow your life to be a living epistle. And they will come to you because they'll want to know why you're not moved. Why you're not moved by circumstance. Why circumstances don't move you. But why you're moved by an internal reality that crushes an external crush. Do you understand? Do you know, it's impossible. It's impossible for someone that knows who they are to be completely crushed by circumstance. It's impossible. It's very possible, like when I started this thing out and I shared about Zoe when she fell, it's very possible for someone to understand who they are, but to be tripped. But it's impossible to keep them down. You better hear that. That's very important. And I'm telling you that I'm preaching out of life experience because I'm learning this thing as I go. We have stuff come all the time, man. All the time. I can tell you boatloads of stuff that comes. But when righteousness is founded inside of you, that's what births forth. That's what comes forth. That's what rises to the top. That's the cream that rises to the top. When fiery trials come, it's in Peter. It talks about fiery trials coming. It's actually the testing of your faith. It actually comes to test your faith. But you go, that's the devil. Yeah, it might be. But are you moved more by that or moved by Christ that's in you? So as stuff comes, we grow. We just get stronger and stronger. Come on, man. It's the reality. We all face it. We all go through it. I promise you, Pastor Don goes through it. I've been with him on a bunch of it. We've talked a lot. I promise you, Dan goes through it all the time. Like all the time. All the time. He does, but you won't see it in the way that he is. Because he doesn't wear salvation on his sleeve. You wear salvation in your heart. And you're moved by the reality of the kingdom inside. Amen? You getting anything out of this? At all? Is it helping? Okay. So Moses put a veil over his face so the children of Israel could not steadily look at what was passing away. Man, I believe that, now I'm growing in this, so hear me on this, and Pastor, you can weigh this out. I believe that Moses had a visitation on that mountain for a long period of time, and I believe he stayed with the Lord. You know, it says that he fasted for like 80 days, wasn't it? 40 and 40? Didn't he go for 40 days? And which would be crazy. Well, it's hard for us to fast for one day, so it'd be crazy for him to fast for 80, right? No, but he's in the presence of God. He's in the presence of God. And it says that thing faded away. It says that it faded away. It says they were in it, they were not able to look, but it was passing away. I believe that we can have a face-to-face experience with God every day to where the glory never fades away. I believe that we can stay in that place to where our eyes are never veiled, or our eyes are never blinded, and our face is never veiled. That no matter where we are hooked up to a continual, not visitation, but habitation of God. To where Christ in you, the hope of glory, shines bright no matter what you're going through, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter where you are. That nothing can veil that, and the only one that can veil that is you when you believe a lie. I believe you can stay hooked up to a place where you can shine constantly. It says, nevertheless, it says, but even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on the heart. That's when Moses is read without Christ being the forefront. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, so when your heart turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed. And there's that same word that we read in Romans 12:2. That word transformed means that we've been, the way Pastor Jack used to say, and this is the example that I remember, he would always use the caterpillar into a butterfly. Where a caterpillar was a caterpillar until it was a butterfly. But it went through the stage until it was a butterfly. But it was completely different than when it started to that when it finished. It was completely ugly looking until it got to a beautiful thing. Right? But that transformation is this. And it talks about we all with unveiled face. So the veil being removed. Because not of condemnation, but because of righteousness. Righteousness is what removes the veil. Right standing with God is what removes the veil. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. That's in 1 Corinthians 10, right? 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, taking every thought captive. Taking every thought captive. Why? Because the strongholds exist in the mind. So it would make sense that we don't be conformed or squeezed into the way the world wants us to be, even the way the church wants us to be. And I'm not beating up the church, but I'm telling you that it's not about a bunch of programs and a bunch of...
That's right.
It's about transformation. What if you had people that were transformed so much that they wanted to volunteer for everything instead of being made to do something? What if you had a breed of people that were so transformed by the renewing of their mind that they wouldn't have to be made to do something or to be begged to do something, but they would want to volunteer because of the day of His power? Do you know that we're in that day? And when transformation comes because of a righteous identity, righteousness is where it's at. All of a sudden we want to do things where before, yeah, I got this and this and this and this and this. I mean, I understand if you have so many things that like I'm trying to deal with this. like in my life, because I have so many different places to go and so many different things to do. I'm trying to get this thing to where, because I want to be a good steward of everything in the kingdom. I want to be able to have people that I can give this to, that can run behind and give this to. So I want that in my life. I'm not understanding how it's going to look yet, because I'm just finding out who I really am. I'm growing in this thing. So I'm growing in this thing. But what if you had a breed of people that righteousness was their foundational principle, and what they wanted to do was they wanted to volunteer for everything, because it's the day of His power. And in the day of His power, they will volunteer. Because it's that. It's the redefined Christianity. It's a new breed of Christianity. It's a breed of Christians that are grounded in righteousness, that are moved by righteousness, that are empowered by the Spirit of God, to where they're not under the law, they're under the law of liberty in Christ Jesus. They're not under the law of condemnation, and they don't have to worry about walking out the law, because they walk in the fear of God, which comes through righteousness. And when they walk in that place, they don't have to worry about accomplishing this and this and this, because that's a given. Because righteousness is what they seek. Because right standing with God, they're right with God. There's no hidden closets. There's no stuff. There's no junk in their closet. They're just clean because God says so. Man, this is where we need to be. This is where we live. Every day. Don't think too much on this, because you can allow your brain to get in the way. You can, because you've had many teachings. I tell people, wipe out the teaching that you have, at least for this session. I should have said it in the beginning. Sometimes we have so much teaching and so much stuff that has become Lord in our life instead of Jesus, that we allow a teaching that we've had to become dominant. And when something comes in that's actually liberty, it tries to like pull the veil away, and it won't go, because you're consumed by what you've been taught instead of opening your heart and letting the eyes of your heart open and letting Holy Spirit be the bloodhound, where He goes, that's God. And He goes, shh, and lets it in. Oh. So we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. What's that mean? Your face doesn't have a veil on it anymore. Let's just look at it in the simplicity of what it says. As in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. When you look in a mirror, what do you see? Do you see yourself? You're supposed to see yourself, because a mirror reflects yourself. But what really do you see? See, if the mystery revealed is Christ in you, the hope of glory, when you look into your own eyes, do you see Christ in you? Or do you see your shortcomings? Or do you see the things that you haven't measured up in? Or do you see the things that you wish you never did? Or do you see the things you wish you never said? Is that what you see? Because I want to tell you something. That's not what God sees. What God sees is a son. What God sees is a daughter. One that wants to be like their daddy. One that doesn't know how to get there, so they just believe. One that says, faith. Faith, God. Help me with faith. One that says, God, if Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, write this scripture down. When I said to you that God stamped me, when I was in Teen Challenge, God said, I'm going to stamp a scripture upon your forehead. It's going to be Matthew 6:33. I can tell you that you're probably going to hear that scripture a lot in the next few weeks to come. Because this is a church. This is a church that actually seeks this thing first. It seeks first the kingdom of God. If you're going to be kingdom minded, you ought to seek the kingdom. Jesus didn't say, here's the gospel of salvation, pray a prayer and go to heaven. He said, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the nations, and then the end will come. We've made it a mission to go out and preach the gospel of salvation to all these different nations, getting people to pray a prayer, but that's not what Jesus told us to preach. Jesus told us to preach the kingdom. The kingdom is the transformation of a life, to where your whole life is transformed. The greatest miracle today is a life that's completely transformed to something that never looked this way before, to something that people have no idea what this is. This is completely crazy. Who is this guy? People that saw me and knew me when I went to high school hear about me now and say, this is not the same guy. There's no possible way. I'm not kidding, man. Even my babysitter from 6 years old, that used to babysit me when I was a little kid, says there is no way that this is the same one. That's how bad it was. For real. So seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness is Matthew 6:33. And then all these things will be added to you. When you seek the rule of God's government that governs and reigns from within, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness and peace have kissed, and joy is the byproduct of righteousness and peace in marriage. And it's in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God's not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom is within the Holy Spirit. So when you seek first the kingdom, you're seeking first relationship. You're seeking first communion with God through Holy Spirit so that you can become sons that is directly hooked, or a daughter that's directly hooked with your Father. So that the fear of God becomes the byproduct of righteousness and peace. Where fear of God is, oh my gosh, you walk in the fear of God, not being afraid of what God says, not being afraid of God, but being in a reverence place of God. Being in a reverence place of God to where something that's contrary to what God said comes in and your spirit shakes. No, this isn't okay. And then you walk in that place to get your spirit to steady again. There's such a place to walk in the fear of God to where sonship is what we seek. But the fear of God is a byproduct. The fear of God is what you're compelled by. The fear of God is the same thing as the love of God. Jesus was anointed with the sevenfold Spirit of God in Isaiah 11:2, and it talks about it. But it says His delight was in the fear of the Lord. So when His delight becomes your delight, all of a sudden, man, things start to happen. From sonship, but righteousness is foundational, and the fear of God is brewing in the place of righteousness, so that this becomes who you walk, how you walk, how you live, who you really are. Are you with me? All right. Now watch. It says, transformed into the same image from glory to glory. I believe that the sanctification process of God is you moving from glory to glory to glory to glory. I believe that we become sanctified. I believe that sanctification is immediate as soon as you get born again. But I believe the sanctification process of God is your mind being renewed, getting out old trash, getting in the thoughts of God to where you get sanctified as lies and thoughts come out. This whole program, this whole school is going to be about taking out lies, man. Taking out lies and bringing your identity into sonship. Bringing your identity into righteousness. To where your past doesn't have a voice in your life. And I'm sure Dan will pound that thing because we do. It's our greatest privilege to pound redemption and pound righteousness. And I know Pastor Don's a big advocate of redemption and righteousness and kingdom. So this thing's just going to be amazing. It's a life. I guarantee it's going to be life transforming. None of you are going to walk away unhappy with what you've received. I guarantee it. I spend an hour with Dan and I feel born again again. I do. All the time. I mean, it's a figure of speech, but man, it's so good. It doesn't, even if we just hang out, man, and I can fellowship and we tell stories of what's going on around the world. No, it's awesome. I don't even get to spend time hardly at all anywhere with my peeps because but God wants us to be in that place where I don't need Dan to keep me in line. Where I don't need him to keep me accountable. I need Pastor Don to keep me accountable. I'm accountable through Holy Spirit who is my mentor. To where you can reproduce this very thing that's going to be birthed in your heart all across the nation, all across the world. To where you can make many sons. That's what this thing's all about. So that's the season that we're in. Going out and making sons everywhere we go. That's what it's about. And not that they have to call me their dad. That's not it. I just want to make you a son. Because it doesn't mean that I'm your dad. It means I'm your brother. Call me what you want. I'm just family, man. Call me a lesser son. I'm just coming up underneath you, kicking you out of the boat to get you to walk in righteousness, to get you to walk in identity. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to come up underneath of you, equip you for the works of ministry so that your job becomes your mission field. Not to get you into full-time ministry. Man, walk this thing out in your regular everyday life. God will put you into ministry when it's time. Don't press to get in there. Press to just walk in Him. Anybody that gets themselves in has to strive to stay there. I've seen people after people, all of a sudden, all kinds of people that put themselves in, all kinds of hell comes in to their life to try to see if their identity is who they really say they are. And And you've got to be really wise, man. The enemy's on the prowl, bro. He's a jerk. Okay. Therefore, since we have this ministry, what's the ministry we have? The ministry of righteousness, the ministry of the Spirit. So you're all in ministry. You all have the same thing. It doesn't say who has this full-time ministry. It says, no, since we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Watch this. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You are the in-ring manifestation inside of you. As you see without blinds on your eyes, when your face is unveiled, people will see Christ in you, the hope of glory. You will shine. Deep darkness has covered the earth, but the light has come. Your light has come. Shine. That's what we're to do. We're to shine so that everyone around us wonders and questions, what is going on with that guy? What is up with that woman? Man, she's not even moved by persecution. We say mean things. She's not moved. All she does is just love us. They can't handle that. The world can't handle it, man. And it's good because I'm watching God possess people. My family is one of the number one byproducts of that, because all of us cry out for our family. All of us want our family. I had some of the hardest. They're all coming in. Told them last night. I said, dude, remember when you used to persecute me and say mean things and stuff? God would tell me everything that you used to say and just sat there and cried. I said, lift your chin up, man. I said, did you ever see me respond to be mean to you because I knew that? He said, no. I said, well, God's not mean to you and God's not responding that way either. I love you, man. You're amazing. He's like, man. It's why? It's supernaturally possible, but naturally impossible to live this way, to walk this way. So Lord God, I thank you in the name of Jesus, God, for your peeps. I thank you for these amazing students, for these amazing sons and daughters that are here today, God. I'm asking you in Jesus' name to radically transform their hearts so that their own family doesn't even know who they are. So that their family would be completely wrecked. So the family they'd be praying for would be completely transformed to a place where they never even thought they could be. God, I thank you that you'd make this whole room of people Holy Ghost wrecking balls that would rule through righteousness, God. They would rule, they would reign as kings through the abundant gift of grace and the free gift of righteousness. It's Romans 5:17, that they would reign as kings in this life through grace and the free gift of righteousness. God, I ask you to seal up this word in their hearts, and their eyes and ears would be open. God, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yay.